Welcome to HWTP Sports Talk with your host, David Weinstein. And now, David Weinstein.
Hello, Huddlin fans. Thank you for listening to Huddlin with the Pro Sports Talk with David Weinstein, featuring Pepper Johnson. My co-host Pepper Johnson is a 13-year NFL veteran player, a five-time Super Bowl champion as a player and coach, a member of the Ohio State Varsity Hall of Fame, and I'm a former defensive coach for the Bills, Jets, and Patriots. Pepper, the big talk this week has been centered around, again, a lot of what's going on off the field, not what's going on the field, and that's what's happening in college football. Had an announcement yesterday from some of the members of the Big Five that they were not going to be playing. And today you had the other three members, SEC, ACC, and Pac-12, saying full steam ahead. It seems kind of odd that they're all taking a different position with regard to what they're going to be doing here, especially when they all claim to be relying on the fact that they're using medical experts' advice. I find it hard to believe that the medical experts' advice in the heartland of the United States is going to be that much different than the medical experts' advice in the Deep South. It seems strange to me that they can take such diverging opinions. It's going to make for a very strange football landscape, wouldn't you think, come September, if you've got three of the five playing and two sitting it out?
Oh, yeah, of course. I think all that is kind of based on who's coming up with the ideals and the discussions on how to prevent or kind of manicure the virus in those situations. You know, I think that's the main difference, why, you know, some conferences is opting out and you have some guys playing.
You know, it's also has to be a lot about the television contracts and where that money is going to be going. And as you know, a lot of the money that comes in from the television contracts and from the football program goes to pay for some of the lesser known sports that takes place at some of these schools. There's been talk. Nobody wants to say it's over. So the two conferences that said they're not going to play the Big Ten and the Pac-12, they said they're postponing it till spring. That raises a whole nother bunch of questions about how much football you can get in the spring, what kind of shape you're going to have athletes in, who are some of them are either going to be playing two seasons worth of football in one calendar year, less than a calendar year, and others who are just going to back out completely because they're going to be getting drafted by the NFL. I find it hard to believe that the NFL is going to change when their draft is going to be, and you can't have a player who's potentially going to be selected in the first round playing in what at that point might be the end of the season or a bowl game and get injured and nix themselves out of a huge contract.
As far as, you know, like programs like Ohio State and the Big Ten, I would think that they have money in the bank. So maybe some of the television contracts won't hurt their pocket as much as it would someone else. But I think those guys can manage. And I'm quite sure that was part of the decision making as far as those guys, you know, deciding to opt out. As far as some of those kids, you know, like, yeah, and I agree with you. To play in a spring game when the draft is around the corner or whatever, play a spring season, not in just a game, but when the draft is right around the corner, I don't know if that's a lot of people going to be interested in doing that. So the seniors, and again, to the larger schools, you won't really miss some of those players because guys have 70, 80, you know, 90 players on a team. But for some of the smaller schools, I think that will be a problem because when they lose those seniors, a lot of kids, they don't have as many people on the team. So how would they function and how would they get, you know, be able to play a season in the spring? Those guys will have to – maybe some of those seniors probably would play.
Well, but, you know, if you got a kid who's on a bubble and you know, can't decide whether or not, you know, he's going to get drafted high, you've also got to deal with agents now. You know, before, by, you know, the end of the bowl season, agents can go out and start recruiting some of these kids now. If they're still playing ball during the spring season, you can't go out and recruit. Otherwise, you're going to lose their eligibility. I think some of it shines a hypocrisy on both the NFL and the NCAA, because these kids are really a farm team for the NFL, and they're not treated like that. They can't unionize. They don't have any rights. They don't have a right either to demand more testing in this situation or to get paid for what they're doing. The NCAA is still battling them in a case that was decided years ago and appealing the decision of the court out in California as to whether or not they can be paid and how much they can be paid and likenesses and things like that. And, you know, the fact that the kids really are the last people that have any say in all of this really shows the hypocrisy and how much of a big business that is. I also don't think that they're putting the kids' health really first in this whole thing. It's all really about the pocketbook. There's can't be a conceivable reason that things are that much drastically different in the South for the ACC and the SEC and out in California for the Pac-12 than it was in the middle of the country, where, quite frankly, the numbers are lower in the middle of the country for coronavirus. They're higher in all these places where they want to play. So it's not health that's doing it. It's money that's doing it. And I hate to say it, but it might even be politics that are forcing where these different conferences are going to start playing or not.
None of those things surprise me whatsoever. But I have to start off saying boo to the agents. For any guys that's out there signing on with an agent now, I think it's ridiculous. Like, really, with all honesty, for a kid, I wouldn't, if I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't sign an agent until after the draft. Because if those guys that have a good relationship, you go to a certain team, okay, I got drafted by the Giants. You find out, how many agents have or which agents have a number of players on that certain team, and that's where you're going to get your better contract from. An agent that haven't dealt with that general manager or player personnel, you're not getting a you probably won't get a good contract. And then some of the contracts now it's already premeditated. So What is that agent doing? He's just taking money from something that some work that he really is not doing. So
I don't disagree with you, but what about a kid who is trying to decide whether or not he should stay in school for another year? And I understand that you can't hire the agent, but he's got to be able to get an opinion from somebody to say to him, look, if you go out now, you're going to go in a second or the third round and you're not going to get as much money. Play another year and you're going to bump yourself up into the first round. Or somebody's going to tell him, look, it doesn't matter whether you go now or whether you go next year. You're going to be in the first round or you're going to be in the second round.
Exactly. All of this stuff, we have to, you know, keep taking a step back. All of this stuff is brand new for everybody. You know, our country haven't been in this, this world haven't been in this situation before. So I'm quite sure, I hope to believe that every entity is trying to take a different perspective than normal or what you have been doing in the past, to try to reconcile the situations. So with the draft or with kids coming out of college, I'm hoping as we speak, people are sitting down and having meetings and having conversations on how can we make this better, a better situation for the circumstances that we're dealing with right now. That's first and foremost. So until we get a few more answers and some things that's etched in concrete on whether it's going to be a spring season, how long that spring season will be, when it will start and when it will be over, I think all that carries a little weight. Now, going back to the beginning of the question, I don't necessarily know if, again, as a at once college athlete coming into the draft, I'm not taking advice from an agent on should I come out of college or should I not come out of college. That's going to be something that someone that have known me all my life, like my parents or some of my friends or even the guys that alumnus or whatever that recruited me to go into college, I would take and accept their opinion a lot stronger than I would an agent that I'm just coming across. And that guy can mean well. That's my opinion. That's how I feel. It's kind of like when you leave going from high school and going into college, like as that parent, like my son going to Ohio State, I didn't want to influence him one way or another to go to Ohio State or not go to Ohio State, because that decision he's going to carry in with him for the rest of his life. And I don't want to be that guy, have him go to Ohio State and things don't pan out for him. And now he's looking at me with a funny face. I want that to be his decision. That's a part of growing up. I made the decision myself, whether to play baseball or, you know, and go and play, go to Ohio State. A lot of that, some of the kids, you know, probably should make those decisions themselves.
You're listening to HWTP Sports Talk with David Weinstein, recognized by our guests and listeners for our no-holds-barred good questions and informed conversation. Don't be shy. Post your questions and comments at hashtag AskHWTP.
And it becomes an issue for kids who don't have people to talk to. Not everybody's fortunate enough to be able to surround themselves with people who have been through the system and know what's going on. You've got kids who are sort of on the bubble, you know, not only just to get into college in terms of their playing time, but, you know, kids who are playing and don't have enough people who they can rely on. There's always somebody who's going to try and take advantage of them and try and steer them in a direction they think is going to be most helpful to them. That's a lot of what we saw in the corruption cases with the Adidas case and the NCAA hoops cases and the AA basketball stuff. And so always somebody to take advantage. So, you know, for kids who have a good, solid core of advice around them and people giving them advice, you're right. You give the kid all of the opportunity to make his or her own decision as to what they're going to go and where they're going to do. But for those kids who don't, those are the kids who need some sort of outside advice. And it's got to be more than just the coach, because coach is always going to want you to play another year because, you know, he's going to want you to do more for the team. So those are the kids who sort of fall through the cracks. Do you disagree with that one? The coach isn't going to want you to play another year?
No. My head coach wanted me out of there. My head coach, Bruce, he wanted me out of there. He was trying to get rid of me. So, I agree. And unfortunately, you have some guys that's in those, you know, that's in that situation that you really would love to have some advice, but it's no one to turn to. You know, you have like myself. My father wasn't. He left the house. Well, we left him. I was 5 years old, so I didn't have that person to turn to. It was just my knowledge and everything that I dreamed about trying to do took me to that decision making point. And then it was just, you know, it's kind of common sense. And then it was a combination of my uncles, my upbringing and all that stuff that carried the weight. Kids nowadays, some of them are far-fetched. Some guys, they, you know, they're overreaching, and some guys think they are a lot bigger than what they really are. And you hear about all the entitlement and all that stuff. But a lot of these kids are a lot smarter than we really give them credit for. And you have some guys that's really sitting back and thinking this stuff out. And, you know, and the guys that's not, unfortunately, they kind of get sucked up by, you know, the agents or the and I don't really want to say like agents like that and stereotype and make everybody mm-hmm. bad guys. But, you know, they get the outside influence. Because I'm going to tell you what, the parents, David, are a lot worse than some of the agents. But you have these guys that's pushing their kids, and they really do a lot of harm for the kids as opposed to helping them out.
Well, they got a meal ticket, and a lot of it is just that they sort of projecting their own desires and ambitions through the kids and not looking out for them. Raises an interesting question that was also brought about by this whole discussion. What about a union? What about a union for these college athletes, an organization that would protect them, that would have their best interest in heart and look out for them, give them bargaining leverage and a chip? I'm not suggesting that to the extent that NBA or NHL or NFL players union sort of, you know, get them together and put it in a position where there's a strike, but certainly they could help look out for their health, look out for some of the compensation issues that we've talked about in terms of likenesses, safety, not only from coronavirus, but from, you know, overheated practices and coaches that are not paying attention to, you know, the kid's best interest. National Labor Relations Board rejected the union approach when it was first brought up back in 2014, but maybe 6 years later, it's time to modify that and give these kids a chance to speak out. They've tried to organize themselves via Twitter, via social media. We've seen a lot of the "we just want to play" type of thing, but again, I'm not sure they know exactly what's in their own best interest, and perhaps there should be somebody that can help them make that decision.
I'm bad on the whole union and all that stuff and bringing it into a professional light. I think that would take away from the college sport, period. You have a lot of guys that's playing college football, have no intention on playing professional football whatsoever. You have some guys that don't make it there. It's several different ways that you look at it. For a guy like myself that had ambition to go play professional football, I'm in the same union, and I am voting with a person that's standing next beside me that can give two shakes about me, you know, my career, whether I heard something and going on and play professional football or not. I don't know if I want that guy heart and his vote for whatever direction the union is trying to take. I think there's other ways of trying to make up for the likeness of a player. And that's really what it all comes down to. Everything else, me personally, I think the scholarship, granted, it doesn't come close to the money that it makes for the school. But we're saying the same thing about, in the NFL. Some of the contracts that what players get, it's not even coming close to what the NFL owners are making. So it's kind of the same deal. You know, you ask me my opinion, but I know college, you know, they would like for, I know myself, there was plenty of times my junior year, that summer going into after my junior year, going into my senior year, that was a rough summer trying to make it. The penny bank, my penny bank. I even broke my penny bank trying to eat that summer. But those are the things that it pushes you. It makes you a lot stronger, and you reap the benefits later.
You're listening to HWTP Sports Talk with David Weinstein, recognized by our guests and listeners for our no-holds-barred good questions and informed conversation. Don't be shy. Post your questions and comments at hashtag AskHWTP.
Let's go over to the hard court in the NBA. Two different stories I want to talk about with you there. One of them is Kevin Durant. Guy hasn't played a game all season. His Brooklyn Nets are in the playoffs. And because he had an agent who was a smart guy, put a clause in his contract. Now, you know, he's making $37.2 million already in a base salary. He's been out recuperating from his Achilles injury. And because his teammates made it into the playoffs, he gets a cool $1 million bonus for sitting on the bench. What do you think about that?
Well, he wasn't sitting on the bench. He was somewhere else. But yeah, for my teammates, nothing I wouldn't do. And like, I don't think that is really a problem. You go out there and you play the game with or without the guy, and you really would like to have him, but there's plenty of times when like myself, I was kind of fortunate with my career not ever getting injured until year 12. But I'd like to feel like my teammates was, they went out there and they played for me. Unfortunately, we didn't make it to the playoffs and I didn't see a bonus. And God knows I didn't ever see a $1 million bonus. But I you like to think that some of your influence and your strength and your will, you know, it carries. I hear a lot of comments about Tom Brady that, hey, without Tom Brady in 2008, you know, Patriots still won 11 games. And so that, so it's more, so people thinking that it was more of the system. I was there, and trust me, we were winning ball games because of Brady's spirit. Mm-hmm. And we as a defensive unit was playing, showing that, hey, it's not just Brady that makes this team go, but just him in the back of your head makes it, it was inspiring players to play harder. The offense, we took some steps back, had a different game plan, not a Tom Brady game plan, but we graduated in you know, and getting better each and every week. And those guys' motivation was because of Tom Brady is not taking all the thunder and you know, in front on the show. So yeah, we won without him, but at the same token, it was his spirit that was helping guide us. So I'm with Durant. I can never really, David, I'm bad with all the finances and all that stuff like that. $1 million to that guy, unfortunately, is not really a big deal. It is. It would make change my life.
Right.
But, for a lot of other guys, it's not really a big deal. And for that team to write that contract and put that clause into his contract, as his teammate, I could not sit around and say, oh, man, I wish I did. I wish I had my contract like that. Or look at this guy. He's getting paid, you know, money and we're doing all the work. It's just that's not it. I don't think any of my teammates was like that.
It's the off the court presence. Just him being there, supporting the team, you know, giving his leadership off the court, well worth a million to the Nets, because look, they're not necessarily going to go very far in the playoffs, but they made it to the playoffs. So we get a taste of it and, you know, they get a little bit of experience. The other story that's interesting is that, you know, there was a lot of talk about gambling, encouraging, you know, the gambling and live on the TV, and you can get online and you can bet. You think that's good for the game, Pepper?
Crazy. It is so crazy. David, I'm a guy, you know, I don't shy away from a casino. I don't go to casinos, but I can't even shoot craps at a casino because I grew up shooting craps. Nobody else can touch your dice. You don't touch my dice, you know. You got to roll the dice, and this guy gets to, you know, stick a stick out there and rake your, you know, your dice back to you or whatever, place your bets and all this pausing and anything like that. You know, I want to throw and hit my leg. But I'm very, very bad with gambling. There's no way in the world I could touch any of that. I don't even really understand how can you focus with all this different stuff. I have friends that talk to me about it. That is way up over my head, but golly.
I mean, they got breakdowns for, you know,
everything,
halves and quarters. They've got parlays and you're watching the game and you're not caring about what's going on the court. You're caring about whether or not your bet you just placed 2 seconds ago was going to hit it for you.
The first turnover, first player get a turnover. It's like, you can bet on that. I'm like, this is ridiculous. But again, you know, that's this country. You know, if you put it out there, someone gets attracted, you can make a dollar off of it. Everybody is for it. And then now these casinos and all these gambling establishments, they have made their way to, you know, with the television and the commercials and you know, and got to the owners of these sports and stuff like that. So now they are affiliated. The players can't do any gambling.
Right.
But the owners can be affiliated with it. And
it's that hypocrisy again, Pepper. No, I don't want to go down that road. So
exactly. That's what I was just saying about, you know, about the, with the college, for a college athlete to not get shared the wealth is, you know, it's the same thing going on in professional sports.
So let's take a right-hand turn here and go over to the baseball diamond. If you're a fan of Huddling with the Pros, you know that my heart belongs in Buffalo. So it was a historic night last night, Pepper. For the first time in 105 years, there was a professional baseball game that was played in the city of Buffalo. And you know I was there for the opening pitch, at least watching it on TV. Turned out to be a good game. The Marlins came back in the top of the ninth, tied it up, set it to extra innings. But it was a beautiful evening. There was a breeze blowing in from the lake. The sun was out. It was in the 70s in Buffalo in August. Nice. Perfect time of year. It, you know, it made for a pretty picture. And, you know, the Blue Jays ended up winning it. So, maybe they'll stick it around. But a lot of modifications they had to do to the stadium. They had to bring in extra lighting from outside. They had to bring in the dressing rooms from what was going to be the Field of Dreams game and set those up. But the Blue Jays are going to call that home. And I think the ultimate torture for any Buffalo sports fans would be if the Blue Jays somehow made it to the World Series and they were playing for a World Series championship in Buffalo in October with no fans in the stands. I think that would just be the ultimate snowball rubbing in your face.
But I'm telling you, David, I really think from my experience in Buffalo, that one year, you know, it's a big, you know, sports town, just football and hockey mainly, but I would not be surprised if there's a bunch of people all around the stadium tailgating during that event. You know, a lot of RVs, you know, parked up and down.
Six feet apart. Just, you know, stay at the opposite end of the RV and keep your distance.
Exactly. Campfires. And a lot of porta potties.
But, you know, the other thing that amazes me about baseball, Pepper, and I got to just, you know, get your take on this one. So there was a brawl during the Astros and the A's game. I don't know if you saw that, but one of their guys, Ramon Loreno, gets, thrown out of the game. He got a small 6-game suspension. And, you know, you had to expect it. The guy got hit. There's a lot of bad blood for everybody around with the Astros. But, you know, to me, that's unique from all the sports. Look, I know there's fighting in hockey and you know, that's one-on-one and you get a couple of bench clearing brawls in there every once in a while. Unless you're playing for the Detroit Pistons back in the heyday, you're not seeing a lot of fighting in basketball games. And, you know, in football games, you just don't see it. Now, I understand you're separated by, you know, a huge span of field there. But in baseball, it just seems to be that's what it is for a bunch of guys who sit around in their pajamas all the time waiting for the next play. You know, it seems to be a hair trigger there and the bench is empty and there's a brawl. And in this one, Loreno blamed it on the hitting coach who he claims said an unflattering remark about his mother. And the hitting coach gets a 20-game suspension. Yeah, you can guess what word he used with mother Loreno. But, it just, you know, seems odd to me that in professional sports, that's the one place where it just seems to, you know, go from 0 to 100. What do you think contributes to that?
Well, baseball is an unwritten rule. If you get hit by a pitch and that guy decides I'm going to go, you know, that pitcher did it on purpose or whatever, and he goes to the mound, then you clear the bench. It's and it's crazy. Because it's funny that you asked that question years ago. A couple of my friends was talking about this, that everybody know it. Like in football, if you leave the sideline, they videotape it and those guys get fined.
Mm-hmm.
In baseball, if they really wanted that to stop, they would fine everybody. Because it's easy, you know, they clear the bench. Just show the camera to the dugout. And whoever's in the dugout don't get fined. But pretty much everybody leaves out of the dugout. That's why, you know, you don't really see A lot of guys, you know, I mean, well, every now and then I take that back. I've seen a few more fights when it's like 12 or 13 guys, but then you see some guys just standing next to another guy and he just, you know, I'm holding you off and you holding me off and we making it look good. They're not really fighting, but they're holding each other off because they think it's kind of ridiculous also. You know, you really want to play the game. In basketball, and God dotted your I or something like that, and you come back out, it's like, hey, how do you trade and make that trade and get that guy on your team? That's like Rick Mahorn. Rick Mahorn, before he went to the Detroit Pistons, had a big fight with was Isaiah Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, Rick Mahorn was on the team. And Rick, you know, I'm a good friend with both of them. And Rick was like, man, I was kind of worried about it, you know, when I first walked up in there. So he had a lot of air in his chest when he walked in the locker room. It's like no one said anything about it. And then Isaiah, after the practice or midway through practice, you kind of, you know, pat him on the hip or something like that. And nothing ever was said again. And, you know, that was kind of a big fight for basketball. And everybody act like they don't know how to fight or never had a fight when it comes down to a basketball fight. It's not a lot of people hitting each other, and they have the best opportunity.
Right. Well, you know, that'd make for good conversations, Pepper. We're going to have to get you to invite one of your good basketball friends on the show.
Yeah.
And we'll have a little discussion about that. What do you think?
Yeah. Derek Coleman. We can bring Derek Coleman up here because he definitely would –
Well, I don't know if he's listening this week, Derek, but we're gonna get our producer to send you an invite out there. We'll take another turn on the road here, and we'll go over to the NFL again. A couple of guys getting in trouble, a couple of guys not in trouble anymore. DeAndre Baker officially got charged last week in that robbery that took place back in May. Quentin Dunbar is not charged. Not enough evidence to charge him in the armed robbery. So Dunbar walks and gets taken off the commissioner's exempt list, goes back out to Seattle, starts practicing. I'm sure that Roger Goodell is going to exact some punishment from him for being in the wrong place at the wrong time in the middle of a pandemic. But Dunbar's charged. He's looking at some serious charges here, 4 counts of armed robbery for pulling a gun, according to the witnesses, and now the prosecution believes him, at a card party. Stole money and jewelry from them. You know, a kid whose life was way on the way up is taking a turn just in the complete wrong direction. And then, you know, it seems that the NFC East can't seem to keep themselves out of trouble because, you know, you got a guy on the Washington football team, Darius Geese, who's also got himself in trouble, and he got himself booted off the football team, you know, based on his actions. And they released him after his encounter with the law. So 3 guys, one of them going back to play, 2 others headed in the complete wrong direction. Those are some young men who need some guidance and who need to be put on the straight road.
Definitely. And you know what? The NFL does so much to try to prevent that because they know, you know, like this negative publicity is not really good. You know, most people say any publicity is good publicity. Look at us. We're talking about it now. But no one doesn't want all that darkness, you know, hovering over them about, you know, just guys can't get right. Because the first thing everybody say is, how do you get into that situation with all that money and blow it? Really, with all honesty, some guys has put themselves first and foremost, the friends. The friends are the biggest culprits. That guy, for him to Dunbar not to have someone to just say, hey, man, we're not getting ready to do this right now. We're getting ready to leave, blah, 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 blah. And you go ahead and leave because he, you know, did not have that friend or someone that could not stop him. Because lots of times you those guys get in those situations, and I don't really know, you know, but mm-hmm. It's just I can really speak from my own experience. My friends and those guys do listen to the show, some of them. Some guys is worse than me with modern technology. But anyway, they know, like, I thank them still today for not allowing me to do some ignorant things or just not going crazy or getting into a situation where it could have got blown out of proportion. They behaved, or they had me behave. No one was scared of Pepper. I wasn't, you know, I'm not bigger than them. Mm-hmm. So they grabbed me by my collar and told me to, you know, to get in the car or, you know, get away from this trouble. So, cause things happen. You have a lot of jealous people out there, and they don't get spoken about a lot in these situations where those guys is jealous. And so they of what you have. So they kind of lean on you a little bit more and try to pick the fight to see if they can get a lawsuit. The NFL have those classes, those seminars, and they talk about those the different stuff and how to avoid it and what to do in those situations. And it's too many guys, they looking at it, and it's like a piece of paper, and they crumble it up and toss it over their shoulder and walk, and like, that's not going to happen to me because I'm Mr. Invincible. That's the problem with us football players, that we really do think we are invincible, some of us. Some of the, you know, and you get into those situations, and now your life is no longer in your hands. It's in somebody else's hands to take control.
So Pepper, you're right now working with a lot of young athletes at the academy there. How do you instill this type of mindset to them at a young age where they're actually going to pay attention and they're going to listen to somebody like you or one of the other coaches who are there, and you've got them in a close quartered situation where they're with these kids all the time, but you know they're going to have to learn to do exactly what you just said, to back off a little bit, not be so arrogant about it, not puff their chest out about it. How do you help them to learn that at a young stage in their life and their career so that they've got that seed planted already?
You know, we've had plenty of conversations off the mic that I am so happy now, because that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to catch some of these kids before they got into the NFL and they got a dime in their pocket and you know, and just got, so, you know, feel like they have such broad shoulders, mm-hmm. and that they can do anything. But you grab some of these kids, and a lot of these kids is already tainted. They've already been stroked since the maybe 10 years old or 12 years old, that they're told that they, you know, that they can dominate the world. And what we're doing right now, and I love Chris Dishman, we are creating competition, and we're not backing off from the guys that were studs last year or the guys that are told that they're studs this year. We're not backing off those guys. We're talking to them. We're coaching them just as hard as we coach all the other players. And we're making sure these guys stay on track. And some kids is rising to the occasion. Some kids are backing off. I can talk about Jerome Bettis. How did I get to Jerome Bettis? Because we, you know, from Detroit, went to the same high school. I had a football camp, and we always use the phrase of, hey, we might not reach all of you guys, but if we could touch a couple of you guys, that's great. And Jerome Bettis came up out of that camp. Gilbert Brown came up out of that camp. That was great for us. So when I go to IMG every morning, if I can get one, hopefully three or four, but mm-hmm. one guy coming out of that camp that can be have a successful college career, and if he have goals and dreams to play professional football, that he goes and he represent what we're trying to instill, what Coach Acostas is trying to instill in those guys, how to be a good young man, not just a football player, but a professional, then that makes it all worth it.
You're listening to HWTP Sports Talk with David Weinstein, recognized by our guests and listeners for our no-holds-barred good questions and informed conversation. Don't be shy. Post your questions and comments at hashtag AskHWTP.
At IMG Academy, you know, you were just talking about bringing in competition and showing, you know, some of these kids what's going on. Have there been any other ways that you've been bringing in competition for some of these kids and sort of showing them that just because you're there and just because you might have played last year doesn't mean that you're going to play again this year, so they get a taste of that adversity too, and that helps them to build their character and make good decisions?
See, now, and David, it's great that you asked that question, because what you find out in those situations is the guys that really like football and they're there for football. And then you have some guys that's there that they think it's automatic, the phases that they're going to a big college and that they're going to go into the NFL, and what's going to be the first car that they're going to buy. Until you actually take that away from them, mm-hmm. They don't really realize that.
Do you have the ability to do that, though? Can you bring in kids from the outside and challenge some of these kids and show them that it's not sewn up here just because you're here?
Because it's my first year, I really don't know if this is a process that they have done normally. But with the situation that we have right now, mm-hmm. we can bring in other guys, because, David, we inherited these guys. You know, Chris and myself, we inherited these guys. These guys, a lot of the players was already there. So Pepper Johnson's style of defense was part of last defensive coordinator. Right. So now I need some guys that's going to be physical. I need some guys that have good characters with their teammates and build that bond. You know, yeah, you might just be with these guys 1 year, but I want this to be the best 1 year of your life. And that's how those guys should look at it. When I was in that situation in high school, I had fun. I had fun. And we played the game. And it was all about having fun. You played to the best of your ability, but it's all about having fun. When we got to IMG, it was a guy over here, two guys over here. It was like little cliques. It's mm-hmm. like, wait a minute, we're not going to have little cliques on this team. We either all together or we got to move on. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're in the process of now. And we want to have some guys that really like football, because if they really like football, competition, no problem. If they don't like football, they're scared, then their parents, we're going to get a call from their parents, going to say, my son want to come back home. We cannot bow down, and we cannot go take steps back and show vulnerability because the next kid is watching also.
Better for them to find that out now than, down the road when they get offered a scholarship and, it turns the wrong way for them and they don't have the kind of hands-on approach that you're able to give them right now and help them.
Exactly. Exactly. There's a handful of kids that's there at IMG Academy. When they go on to, and, I have to constantly say Ohio State. You know that, right?
I know.
When they go on to Ohio State, there's 100 kids over there. When I walked, I was the number one defensive player in the state of Michigan. And when I got to Ohio State, I was number nine of that class. Mm-hmm. And at Ohio State, Earl Bruce, how he lined us up, like, okay, so you had Marcus Merritt and Glenn. I'm forgetting Glenn's name. But they were the captains, mm-hmm. right? And the linebackers, how you was ranked on the board, that's how you lined up for stretch. And everybody was 5 yards apart. You know where I lined up at? I was in the back of the end zone. But by week one, my freshman year, mm-hmm. I was on the front line.
That goes to what you're saying. You got to have the hunger for it, and you got to have the drive, and you got to have the attitude more of just like, you're not lucky to have me. I'm lucky to be here, and I've got to keep working to get myself to the front of the line.
Exactly. And I got to the front of the line. Some kind of way I got to the front of the line. I didn't get redshirted. And part of that, you know, guys told me, you know, like I said earlier, Coach Bruce wanted me to do a fast 4 years to get me up out of there. But my hat is off to him. I thought we had a tough relationship, but everything that he done and he presented, he put in front of me, it just made me Pepper Johnson.
Well, you're taking us full circle now, Pepper. We started off with college football and we ended with college football. Hopefully, we'll find out in the next week, couple of weeks, whether or not we're going to be able to watch any college football.
I think some kind of way that school up north, that state I was born in, had something to do with it, shutting down the Big Ten because they didn't want us to continue to keep beating their butt.
Didn't want you to put 100 on them, Pepper.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Huddling with the Pro Sports Talk with David Weinstein, featuring 5-time Super Bowl champ Pepper Johnson. We're the podcast that tackles all the controversial hot-button issues from the world of sports, recognized by our guests and listeners for our hashtag NoHoldsBarred, good questions, and informed conversation. By day, I practice criminal defense law with Hinshaw & Culbertson in Miami, Florida. But once a week, you can find me here on HWTP Radio. The show is produced and edited by Jacqueline Park and is a Sweet G Communications production. Remember, you can find a new episode of Huddling with the Pro Sports Talk every Friday at hwtpradio.com. You can follow Pepper on social media at PepJ52. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at HWTP Sports Talk. Missed a show? Visit our website at hwtpradio.com. and download our podcast onto your smart device. So goodbye for now. We'll see you next week.